You are tuned in to Kids
in the Pit.
From the Kids in the Pit podcast. Today I'm joined by Rob Rampey from DRI. Thanks for joining me. I've seen you guys 6 times, I think.
Well, cool. I've seen you each time, I think.
probably. So what do you do in DRI, aka Dirty Rotten Imbeciles?
I'm the drummer for DRI. I have been playing in the band for almost 30 years.
Wow.
I took a few years off, and they had a couple other guys that filled in on drums for a number of years, about 4 years I took off, but it's coming up to, I think, over 30 years. I think August will make 31. So it's 30 years now for me.
Wow.
I know
you have a cool story. You told me before about like how you joined you've told me about a story that you've how you joined DRI. You want to share it?
Yeah. Okay. My story of how I joined DRI. It was really interesting. I was living in a small little town in Florida called Winter Haven. Mm-hmm. And I was over at a friend's house who invited me over the day before, and they said, "Hey, why don't you come over to our house?" I was kind of new in the town; I didn't know anybody. And someone from my work invited me over to their place, and you know, they turned out they were selling marijuana over there. So I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll go over there. I'll buy some marijuana," you know. And I was going over there and just sitting down on the couch and smoking some weed and chilling out, and all of a sudden the door busted open and this guy comes running in there going, "Whose car is that outside?" And I said, "Why, that's my car." I had a punk rock car with stickers plastered all over the back, you know, and like big DRI and gangrene and black flag and all these punk rock stickers all over it. And because of the town that I was in, it was kind of like a small little country town, so there wasn't much underground music going on in that town. So he was real surprised when he saw all those stickers on the car. He couldn't believe it. He was in shock, you know. So he's like, "Whose car is that outside?" And I said, "That's my car." And he goes,
"That's awesome.
I worked for DRI." He goes, I'm the guitar tech for DRI." I was like, just floored. I was like, "Oh my God, I think I was as shocked as he was," you know. And we just started talking and finding out that we had a lot of similarities. And we both lived in the town where it was mainly a one horse town kind of country and not much underground music going on. And then he started working for the band I was playing with also. And then finally, that was right around the time the Thrash Zone album was released.
Nice.
And then he said he had to leave to go on tour with DRI, so he couldn't work with my band anymore. And one night we were all sitting around talking about how the DRI tour was going and everything. And then he called home and he goes, "Rob, get ready to do an audition for DRI. The drummer just quit."
Wow.
And yeah. Felix was playing drums at the time, and I guess he just got fed up with touring or whatever and had just quit right in the middle of a tour. And then I was like, "Really?" And I said, "Wow, you know," it's all about, it was like the one thing I always wanted to do is play, you know, play in a band and get noticed and entertain for people and stuff like that. And DRI was one of my favorite bands at the time.
Yeah, it's just
and
awesome.
So I was really happy to get the audition. And months later, once they finished the tour and everything, and they scheduled auditions in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I went out, oh, my battery, hold on. Right, I signed up for an audition with DRI to go out to California, and they had 3 days of drummer auditions and like 35 different drummers from all over the world. And so the it was, you know, the tension was on, and I was destined to be as good as I could. And so I practiced all the songs for 3 months. You know, I kind of had it in good with the guys because I was able to find out what songs they were playing for the tour and everything. So it made it I got a little more edge on the drumming audition than most of the other guys. You know, they just show up and go, oh, hey, do you know this song? Oh, yeah, no, I don't know that song. Oh, hey, do you know this song? No, I know this one. And then it'll be one that they don't play, and it'll be like, oh, you know. So it's like kind of, it was kind of like a bad deal, but for other guys that didn't know the songs that DRI was playing at the time. So I learned all the songs, and when I went in there, I just sat down behind the drums, and they go, okay, so what songs do you know? And I said, all of them. See, all the songs, I know all the songs. And they go, what? They couldn't believe it. They're like, okay. They started playing, and we just kept going. You know, I went past the next guy's turn, and we just kept playing more songs, and went past the next guy's turn playing more songs, and everybody was real happy with how it turned out. And so they asked me on the first day. They said, would you mind maybe sitting in for the next 2 days and becoming a roadie and helping with all the gear and everything. And I was like, wow, man, I got my first job with DRI, and I'm not even the drummer yet. You know, I was like, wow, that's so cool, man. So I said, yeah, definitely. And I had just planned enough days on my flight where I could do it. And it turned out perfect. I ended up going all the way down to Los Angeles, and there was some other guys, some of my mentors that were trying out also. Avery Smith from Suicidal Tendencies is the first drummer from the first record, Suicidal Tendencies. I totally love that record, and he tried out, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it! I can't believe this. You know, it's like a dream come true for me. I was really stoked.
He's still in the band?
And
Not, oh no, it's there's a you know the current drummer of Suicidal Tendencies? He's really good.
yeah, great Grayson.
Yeah, like he's like 90,
Grayson.
he's like
Yeah, he's really good.
best drummers ever. And he's like a jazz drummer, so he has like that like traditional grip. He doesn't he's really good.
Yep. I've seen him up and coming on a couple of different live videos I've watched. I really like the way he plays. He's got a good style, and he's really energetic. I really like that. Reminds me of me when I was young.
Yep, it's like awesome that like a jazz drummer using like traditional grip can like do all these like fast beat and stuff like like crazy fast stuff.
That was one of my big things with all my friends back in when we were growing up in the mid-80s and listening to punk rock bands. We would always try to search out those guys that were doing like jazz style drums, because it was they were playing punk rock in a way that wasn't normal, I guess, to say, but it was more like reminded you of like the 30s and 40s and the 50s, where they're doing the jazz but with the punk rock music on top of the drums, and it made it so much cooler sounding. And we would always go out and try to find the bands that were always doing like traditional grip, who was playing like that. There was a couple guys back in the day that were doing stuff like that. There was that we would just, yeah, that was one of our big things. We really loved that.
Yep. Yeah, that's just like it's really cool that like there's like jazz drummers that are like really good at punk rock. It's the types of drumming, like it's just so different. Like just punk beats are really fast usually, and jazz is more
Well,
like
a lot of jazz is fast too, like punk rock kind of.
there.
When it starts getting real fast, but it's like not a lot of snares, like a lot of ghost notes.
Oh yeah.
And if it was like a full snare hit, it would be like a punk rock beat. It'd be
That's
really
true.
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw Suicidal playing the first record a few months ago, and we talked to Grayson at a restaurant. But yeah, it was really cool.
Cool. I'd like to meet him sometime.
He's really cool.
I think we were supposed to play a show with them recently, and some reason it didn't happen. I don't know why,
Oh.
but we had played with them a number of times in the past years with different members and stuff. But Mike Muir is one of the nicest guys in the scene that I know.
Yep.
Just really quiet and mellow guy, man. Just,
Yeah,
I,
Mike's like,
I,
well, he's on stage. He's like crazy. He does like, I like how he does the thing with his hands. He is
Yeah,
like this.
it's like he's a wrestling bear or something.
I don't know what he's doing, but he's
I
crazy.
love that. That's cool.
Yep. And he gave me his sweaty wristband, and I put it on.
Oh, rad, rad. That's cool.
So where do you live, and is it also where you grew up?
No, I used to live in Florida, and now I live in California. And I live near San Francisco, in a place they call the Bay Area, which is surrounding communities in the San Francisco area, but
Yep.
it's called the Bay Area, and there's different scenes all around. They have like different scenes around the Bay, but everybody visits all the different places where like they'll have a show on the other side of the Bay, or they have a show in San Francisco, or they have a show in way up north, but everybody always goes to all these shows all around, you know. So it's like they call it the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's where Metallica became famous around here. This where they got a house. There was this place back in the day called Ruthie's Inn, where metal became real famous around here back in the early 80s. And Metallica was one of the, and Slayer used to play this place, and DRI played this place, and Exodus, and all these bands used to play this place all the time, and it just it became the place that's known for where Metallica started their, you know, their journey, I guess we would say, in metal. But they're pretty well known for coming up around here, and some of the other bands like Exodus is still real popular around here, and DRI became famous around here too, and that's kind of where we're still around here in the Bay Area.
Has DRI like ever played shows like back in like the early 80s with Metallica? Do you know?
I don't know if they played with Metallica, but I think they have played with Slayer a number of times, but I think they were just off a couple weeks playing at the same place where they used to play. You know, it's kind of more like a underground club, and they would play a show like after Metallica played a couple weeks ago or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yep,
But never, I don't think, the same show.
it's crazy that like Metallica was in these like little underground clubs like 40 years ago, and now they're in these giant stadiums where like Taylor Swift plays.
I know, it's crazy, man. I can't believe it. They got a really cool stage system that they make up, though. Like, so unique.
They have like three drum kits, I think, and like they like move around the stage, like the lights turn off every so and so amount of songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Instead of having to tune up the drums, they just bring another drum set out. I haven't seen that yet.
so I'm pretty sure they have a thing, like I'm pretty sure their stage is a circle and they have a snake pit right in the middle. That's where everyone goes. It just that's called the snake pit.
Oh, they still call it that?
Yep.
I remember they started that back in the early 90s, the Snake Pit, Metallica Snake Pit, and with their original stage design they had. I've seen a couple different stage designs that they've had recently. Yeah, I haven't been to one of their shows. The ticket price is pretty high. I
Yeah,
don't
they
think it's
skyrocket.
something I could. Yeah, it's pretty hard to believe.
Yep. I doubt I'll ever get to see them, but maybe someday if like yeah, it's just super expensive. It's like a few hundred dollars to be like pretty far from them. And if you want Snake Pit, you're gonna have to pay like $1,000, I bet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're really expensive. And one amazing thing about DRI is tickets are like $15 for right up to the stage, not 1,000.
Yep. We try to keep it the price as low as we can, depending on where we're at. Sometimes it can get up to about 25, but we try to keep it about 15 if we can.
Yep. My favorite DRI song is Syringes in the Sandbox. And Kurt even let me sing it with him a couple times. Do you have a favorite DRI?
I remember you telling me that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was the first time that I noticed that you were at one of the shows and just jumped up there, and I was totally shocked. I had no idea that you were going to be up there.
Yeah.
So it was like, did you have it planned with anybody to get up there?
Kinda. So, what was it mainly just, Mom? Was it mainly just Spike? What?
Greg saw your Madball
Oh yeah.
video.
Oh no. Yeah. It was Greg's idea.
Oh, okay, cool.
Greg said, "I'm going to give you my mic,"
Yeah.
because he saw you singing with Madball in a video.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Do you have a favorite DRI song?
Favorite DRI song? Oh, that's man. Yeah, that's I think my favorite DRI song of all time would probably be I Don't Need Society. That's one that I grew up with. The first time I heard that, I heard it on the radio while I was driving my car. We used to have a college station in Florida that would play hardcore music on like Tuesday nights or something. And I would be out, it was really far away. It was like maybe 90 miles away, the radio station from my house. So I would take a jam box and I'd stick a cassette in there and push record, and I'd stand outside and I'd hold it up in the air like this, trying to get the best reception. And I'd just walk around all night. It was like an hour and a half show. And I would always try to find the best reception, try to get it in. Sometimes it would just totally vanish. But I'd be recording it the whole time. And that was when I first heard DRI, I Don't Need Society. And it came on, and I was like, oh my God, the way it sounded with the drums and the double bass intro. And it was just like, when I heard that, I was like, man, that's what I want to do. I just knew it right away. I was like, that's what I want to do.
Was that the first time you ever heard DRI?
No, I had been listening to DRI for a number of years with their first record, but I didn't know that they had come out with another record. The first Dirty Rotten EP, I used to listen to it all the time. It was one of my favorite records. But then that's when I started getting into more punk rock. I was getting turned on to more stuff, and I didn't know that they had just made a record and it got played on the radio. And it was right around the time it got released, around 1980. Beginning in 1986, the end of 1985.
Yep.
And that's when they played it, and I was just floored. It was like, wow, man.
Yep.
That
Feeling
was the most incredible song. When it goes into the fast part and that fast part plays, oh, it was like there's nothing in my world that it's as far as music goes, that I was just it was like audio candy, I guess. It was like, how do they say, ear candy or whatever. It was just amazing.
Dealing With It's definitely my favorite DRI album.
Yeah, Dealing With It has a lot of different sounds and kind of different productions and different styles of music. It's got a lot of a lot of vastness, and you can tell from listening from one song from one side of the record to the other side of the record that it's just, you know, they spent a lot of time with different songs, and I really like the way it helped shape my career. You know, that record, it was really one of the biggest influences next to Suicidal. First record, those two records were like my absolute favorite when I was growing up.
Yep, like Dealing With It and Suicidal Tendencies, self-titled, like just like I've heard pretty much all the songs on both of those albums, and they're just all so good.
Yeah, every one of the songs, there's not really a bad song on any of the records, either one of those two records.
It seems like with most bands, like the best records are first like few, right? Because my favorite, I feel like with most bands, like the best records are the first few. Because I feel like with DRI, the best records are probably Thrash Hard and Dealing With It.
Thrash Zone.
What did I say?
Thrash Hard.
Oh, Thrash Zone. Yeah, I was thinking Thrash Hard came out. I don't think I've heard the Dirty Rotten LP yet. Or no, EP. Yeah, said it wrong. And the only album I know like completely by Suicidal Tendencies is the self-titles. I haven't heard much else, but like, yeah, I'm more into the first album than the rest that I've heard.
I kind of consider Dealing With It the first DRI record, even though they had the EP before that, because originally it was only a 45.
Yeah.
And then they made the 12-inch after the 45 came out. So originally it was on 45 record. It wasn't a full 12-inch record. So I always considered when Dealing With It came out, it was a long extended play record. It was a longer play record than the EP, and so that one's kind of hard. I always consider it EP when everybody goes the first record. I always get confused, which one are you talking about, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because there are some of the same songs on both records with different, they sound kind of different.
Yep.
Like what's one of the Madman and Couch Slouch are both on both of those records, and some of the outtakes that they have now of other songs that are on there. Also, I don't know if you know about that, the re-release of the EP that has some demo versions before Dealing With It came out.
I know there's demo versions like on Spotify on the Dealing With It album. There's like takes of like, Couch Slouch, a ton of others. I've heard a few of those.
Yep. Some of those nobody ever got to hear because they were just demoing and they never got released. And then finally, years after, started re-releasing them on Dealing With It. And I believe there's some on the first EP too. I'm not sure which ones they are, but I think there's a radio interview on the first one too, like the first DRI interview.
How old were you when you started playing drums?
Okay, let's see. Oh, the story of when I started playing drums. Let's see. I started playing drums when I was about 11 years old.
Nice. So.
There was a guy down the street that had a guitar, and he was just getting into Merciful Fate, and that was the first time I heard Merciful Fate, and all our friends were just getting into metal, and was like, wow, what is this? This is incredible. I never heard anything like that before.
Yeah.
And so I started picking up the guitar and playing, and I had learned how to play music all through school, in elementary school, starting with they call it a recorder, which is a flute.
Yep.
And then going from that to what they call is a cello, is like a small viol or a big violin, like a bass.
Some of my
Hey,
friends.
doggy.
Yep. Dark. He's a good boy. Two of my friends. I'm friends with Pete from Sick of It All's daughter, and her friend group. We all like play online, even though they live in Florida. But at their like school, they play. Some of them play instruments. So, Pete's daughter Lucy, she plays upright bass in school, and her friend and my friend Nico plays cello.
Yep, that's what I learned on, and then I met a drummer from the high school marching band, and he said, "Hey, I got a drum set for sale. Do you want to buy it?" And I said, "Really? What kind is it?" And he said, "It's a Ludwig set with all Zildjian cymbals.
Awesome.
Is it $200?" I was like, "What?" Yeah, I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah. I don't need it anymore. I got a new drum set." I was like, "Wow, okay." So I went running home. Mom, I need $200. I got this drum set. You know, it's all excited and everything. And at first, she didn't understand what I was trying to do because she thought, "Well, I thought you were playing cello. You know, what happened? What's going on?" I was like, "No, this is more. This is stepping up. This is the next thing I want to do." You know, so. I think I had it was around my birthday time, I think. So I ended up doing some more chores and getting a little more allowance. And finally, I was able to buy the drum set. And then I got it home and I set it up and everything. And I sat down and I started playing. And it was like I could play right away. It was like AC/DC, like Back in Black, you know, the beginning with the drum beat. Yeah, it was cool. It was like I just sat down and it was like my feet and my hands and everything just started working like that. But
Yep.
then I tried to do a roll, and nobody ever told me there was a difference between left-handed and right-handed drumming. And I happened to be left-handed, so it was like I would lead with my left hand. I mean, my arms were getting crossed, would hit each other when I'm doing a tom. And I didn't know the difference. I didn't find out till years later that there was the difference between right-handed and left-handed drumming.
Wait,
It
so
was
right?
kind of a weird.
Yeah, I
If you
don't.
start with your left hand first, one, two, three, and then by the time you get to the second tom, your left hand is hitting your right hand.
So.
And it's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I think I. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I start with right. I do. Du-du-du-du. Well, it's. I think it's invert. Yeah, so this looks like left. This is my right hand, though, that I'm holding up.
Right. Yeah. But if it's the other way around and it gets really confusing and your arms get crossed up, and I didn't find out until years later that there was a difference. And finally, I saw a left-handed drummer and I go, "Why is your drum set backwards?" I had never seen a left-handed drum. Have you ever seen a left-handed drum set? It
Yeah,
is weird, man. It looks so,
so
looks weird. Like,
once
I don't know how anybody can play it.
you can just if you have a normal drum set, you can make it left-handed. You just gotta move all the parts around.
Right. But nobody ever told me that.
Wait,
So I learned how to play right-handed drums being left-handed. I figured I had done everything else, played cello right-handed, I played baseball right-handed. I said, "Well, I guess I might as well just keep going then." And so I had to teach myself how to become right-handed on a right-handed drum set, but being left-handed. And it made learning the drums twice as hard. And for years, there was a lot of frustration with parts that I would play that I wasn't sure how to make them better because of this reason. And then I just even still I'm learning parts, you know, 38, 40, 45 years later, still learning parts.
Also, if you think If your mom didn't give you the $200, you might not, like, you probably wouldn't be in DRI right now.
Yeah,
That's.
you know, I never really even thought about that.
Yep.
Never even thought about what would happen if I never got a drum set. That's kind of weird that you said that.
Yep. Thanks. Thank her next time you see her for the $200, because if not, I mean, you might find another way to get into drums, but yeah.
Thanks,
So.
Mom.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. I love you.
So, what was the first punk hardcore metal show you attended, and how old were you?
The first what concert?
Yeah, just any like punk, hardcore, or metal show you attended.
Oh, it was Suicidal Tendencies. It was my first show. And they were playing at a 21 and over bar down in Miami Beach. And all my friends, I had older friends that were going down there. So I was like, is there any way I can ride down there and try to get into the show? You know, I was only 15 at the time. I didn't know how I was going to get in the 21 and over show. And they're all like, okay, you can ride down there. And I said, I'll just stand outside, you know, I'll just stand outside and I just want to be there. You know, it's like one of my favorite bands. So I went down there and when we got there, somebody who had been there before said, oh, I know a trick, the back door. You go to the back door and wait till somebody opens. You just knock on it and somebody will open the door and just go inside. I was like, no way. I can't believe this, right? So here we go. It's like, go around the corner, go down here, knock on the door. Somebody opened the door immediately and we just walked right inside and shut the door real quick. And it
That's
was
awesome.
like, and
Wow.
I'm standing there. I was like, oh my God, a totally packed 21 and over nightclub. The first time I ever been in one when I was 15, I was like, oh man, it's Suicidal is playing. Oh my God. It was the greatest show I ever saw in my life.
Could we
And I
cut
was
this
so
part out so
happy.
you can get arrested?
Didn't I was worried that I was gonna get kicked out or somebody was gonna grab a hold of me to see me or say, oh, well, let me see your ID or something like that. But none of those things ever happened. And I was like, the whole night, I went through the whole night and saw Suicidal play. And it was the greatest show I ever saw. It was amazing.
So, Robert Trujillo, he was the original bassist of Suicidal, right?
No, that was what's that?
No, he wasn't
Well,
original. I just know he was.
Lewisidal, that they have this band called Lewisidal. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't.
It's the bass player Lou. I don't know what his last name is, but he's the original bass player, Lou Lewis, I think Lewis, but they call it Lewisidal. And he has his own kind of band with a different singer and different drummer and stuff. And they play all the first record and other songs but I think his name's Lewis. I don't know him. I
So
know
cool.
somebody who does know him, but I never met him.
So yeah, I guess Rob was, I know he was early, but I know, yeah, he was somewhere in the like early years, I think. Like relatively early, like.
Yeah, he joined right around the time they started playing more like funk stuff and Infectious Grooves and stuff like that. I think that was when they like 80, 88, 87, 89, something like that.
Something like that, yep.
But they had been playing for like 5 years already.
And now Rob's son plays bass for Suicidal, which is cool.
I know, I can't believe that. I found out about that last year and I was floored. I was like, wow, that doesn't happen normally. You know what I mean? Never hear about that.
So
Pretty cool.
it's like I think he's like 15 or something. I know he's pretty young.
Maybe like 18.
Maybe, but I
Oh.
know he's like teenager to young adult age.
That's great, man. I'm so happy for them that they're still playing and bringing new generation from the same members in the band. That's keeping it real, you know what I mean?
I got it.
That's
I
keeping it
can.
real.
So, Mike, first Mike, the basis
Don't worry
or
about it. I'll
Mike?
look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. So what are some of your favorite bands to see live?
Favorite bands to see live? Bad Brains. Bad Brains are my favorite band to ever see live.
Nice.
They were just when they were playing in the mid 80s, they were just so tight, and they would come out and everyone would know what the next person was playing without even talking or looking at each other. And it was just most intense show. I've learned so much about playing drums and music from the Bad Brains. I just I'm so thankful that I got to see them play and experience their music and their band and everything. They're just really major influence for me. I never really liked them that much. I thought there was something kind of weird about their albums. I don't know if you listen to like their first records, kind of like sounds like it was recorded in a garage or something. It's not really great production, but and it's really punk, and it's like I didn't really kind of like that sound. But then when I went and saw them, and then Eye Against Eye record came out, and I was just floored. I was just like, wow, that's just nobody was doing stuff like that, especially they can play the reggae and play the punk, play hardcore better than any hardcore band, and then go straight to reggae, and they're like a real reggae band, you know? And it's like, wow. Like nobody was doing stuff like that. Such a
Yeah, it's
long
crazy.
derivative. Yeah. And I thought that was what expanded my mind about music and not being so centered focused on just hardcore and underground scene. And from there I started reaching out more into older style of music to kind of broaden my horizons, especially for playing drums and stuff.
Yep. My dad really loves Bad Brains. He never got to see him though.
Yeah,
When did
they were one of the best bands ever. Amazing.
they break up?
Well, they broke up, I think, around 1990,
My dad really
or no, 91. The singer left a couple times, and then they got a new singer, and then they played 91, 92, and I think 93. They broke up, and then they reformed again. They had some issues with their name. They couldn't use the Bad Brains name when they came back out, so they called themselves as what was it? Soul Brains, I think it was called.
Oh, wait, that was that after, like, when did the, like, whole, the Soul Brains broke up in 93, you're saying?
No, the Bad Brains broke up, but they got back together around 2000,
Oh.
and they couldn't use the Bad Brains name, so they called themselves the Soul Brains.
Oh.
And then I saw them a couple of times play, and it was just like seeing the Bad Brains all over again. It was amazing.
Did they play the
But
same?
they played all the same songs and everything, but they couldn't use the name because they had lawsuits for some of their records. The record companies wouldn't let them advertise as the Bad Brains. So,
Record
but
company.
it didn't stop them. I'm not exactly sure what the details were about it, but for some reason they couldn't use it. And but they were amazing. And anybody said Soul Brains and go, oh, well, that sounds like Bad Brains. Well, that's because it is. It's like, whoa, okay, weird.
So,
And then so I wanted to check it out, and they're just as amazing as the Bad Brains. And then they played for about 2 or 3 years, and then they broke up again. And then they reformed again around 2009, 2010. And then they played on and off till about 2016 or 17. And then they finally, I think that's about right. I might be wrong, but that's how I understand it anyways.
in 2016 or 17, I could have seen them when I was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, you could have easily. We played a festival one time with them. I think it was around 2014, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Oh my God, they're still playing!" It was just amazing. But they had slowed down, played a lot more reggae and stuff, so it wasn't quite like seeing them years and years ago. It was totally different kind of thing. There's a lot of bands, they change throughout the years, you know, but yeah, you know, it's kind of a funny thing when you go to see you see bands all your life, and then trying to remember the first time you saw them, and then the last time you saw them, and then you see the differences, and you can see all the changes and everything that's happened, and it's you know, it's something nobody ever prepares you for. When you go and buy a record, go buy a record, and you can listen to the same record, and it's always the same for you. You know what I mean? But live is always changing. Even if it's always playing the same, it's always changing.
So, where is your favorite place you toured in?
Favorite place of touring. I have a lot of places that I really like. I really enjoy touring in South America a lot, because the some of the older Mayan influences from years ago, and ruins and stuff like that that are still around. I really like seeing that kind of stuff, you know, like pyramids that are still down there, and temples and stuff like that. It really makes you wonder about how life was before modern day society, you know, and seeing those temples and everything is really kind of an opening experience. So I like seeing that stuff.
Yep. So it seems like DRI plays like the seems like DRI plays bigger venues in South America than in like the US, right?
In South America, yeah, we do play some bigger venues, but there are some that are similar to regular size venues here.
Yep, I've
Like down in the South, we play one. They have one big auditorium where most all the bands who go there down in the South in Chile, they all play the same place. Like Anthrax plays there, and you know, any bigger band may play there, but it's like a 20,000 seater. It's not quite as open for when we play there. They leave the balcony closed, so that's like takes up like maybe 10,000 people just up in the balcony area. So they just leave the floor open for us, but it's still it's really amazing. It's like, wow.
crazy.
Yeah, it's really exhilarating. I really get excited when I get on that stage. It's like kind of like a roller coaster feeling. It's like, oh.
Definitely. Yeah, South America is cool. So, what is the strangest thing you've eaten in another country?
Strangest thing that I've done.
Eaten.
Oh, eaten? No, I try to stay away from that.
Have you eaten anything weird? Like, I don't know, something.
No, I'm really a standard American eating kind of thing. I shy away from anything that's foreign or looks abnormal or almost Martian-like. Yeah, I try to stay away from that stuff. There's a
Yeah,
lot of stuff like that out there, but yeah.
the strangest thing
Our singer is really big into eating stuff that that you normally don't get. Like we sat down at a restaurant. I think it was near Texas somewhere, and they were serving what they call a testicle festival. And it was cow testicles, and he ordered them and he ate them. And I was like, oh man, I can't believe that.
Oh, no, thank you. They're fried, right? Are they fried?
It was weird. Kurt, he loves to eat stuff that is weird like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, off the menu, things that are exotic, stuff that are just totally rude and disgusting, or anything like that, he'll eat, and it's I try to stay away from most of
I'm gonna be honest.
that.
I'm gonna be honest, I probably would try that because you gotta try it once.
Yeah,
But
I mean, it's something that, I guess if you're into it, I just no, I wouldn't be able to do it.
yep, I do
It's
like weird food. So I guess the weirdest thing I've probably eaten was either in Norway. I ate a reindeer like burger.
Oh wow. How
It
was that?
was good. And I also had octopus at a buffet, like a Chinese buffet here. And
Oh wow.
it just the way the suction cups, like the texture of it doesn't suck to your like tongue, but just the texture of it is just so weird. Like it's so
Yeah,
like
it's really
crazy.
foreign the feeling.
Oh, and
Yeah, I know. Now that you mention it, a couple weeks ago, I sat down at a restaurant and I ate some duck. I think that's about as wild as I get.
Yeah,
Duck.
I don't think I've ever had duck.
Duck is really cool. I like it.
So in I think it was Denver, Colorado. It was either Fort Collins or Denver, Colorado. I had a like
Crickets.
cricket. Yeah, I had like candy crickets at this like exotic candy store. They were like,
Wow.
well, it wasn't candy. They were like weird, and they were tasted like they were flavored, and it tasted really good actually, because it was like t it was, I think it was like sour cream and onion or something. No, I think it was cheddar. I don't remember. It tasted really good, but the texture was just horrible. No,
Yeah.
I would not again. Would
Wow. Well, I salute you.
I may
I
try
could never do
to
it myself.
eat weird stuff when I go to Japan next week. We're going
Yeah.
to Japan to see Sick of It All. Well, not just to see Sick of It All, but also to go to Japan. And last year in January, we were going to go with Unearth. But since my dad's job, we had no one to look after my brother because he didn't want to go. So we had all these plans, so we just redid it this year.
Wow, that's cool. Well,
Yeah.
Unearth is really good. I like them. We've toured with them a couple times. We did a tour with Sick of It All and Unearth one year, both those bands and us all on one tour. That was really good.
Think Sick of It All said the first band that they like majorly toured with was DRI. DRI headlined, I
Yeah,
think.
that was their first real tour, DRI and Sick of It All.
Yep. So yeah, that's cool. What was your favorite TV show when you were my age? Or around.
Let's see. I used to really like The Streets of San Francisco.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, The Streets of San Francisco. I used to watch that one like religiously, and I used to like the TV show Bewitched.
Yep.
Bewitched, you know that one? It's kind of, they're older.
Yeah, I don't think
They
I've
were older reruns back then, so they're really old now.
Yeah.
But those were two of my favorite shows. Oh, and they used to have this one show I think was my absolute favorite called Candid Camera. It was kind of like they're punking people.
Funny.
Like they'd set up a camera somewhere, and then they would have some guy come in, an actor or something, and they would mess with the people. Kind of, you ever seen like a show like that? Like
They like scare them.
No, they do different things, like Like one thing was like had like an ATM where it kept spitting money out at the guy, and he's like, he doesn't know what to do, and he's like, all the money's coming out, you know, but it was kind of like a prank. You know, they had stuff like that. It was like pranking people. It was called Candy Camera. But that was always my one of my favorite when I was a kid. I liked watching people get played tricks on.
So do you know a fest in Gainesville, Florida?
The Fest, Gainesville Fest, I know of it.
Well, yeah,
I never played it though.
that would change the name to just Fest. It's just FEST. But yeah, I saw this camera, in like a bush, and I was like, someone trying to record people? I was like, ew, and I flipped it off. And then
Oh,
some,
really?
yeah, because I thought it was some weirdo trying to record people. And then,
Might be.
well, it was this guy, and he jumped out, and he scares people.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, I thought it was some weirdo trying to record people, but no, it was a prankster.
Oh, okay.
But
Yep. Wow.
he
I
was in like,
didn't know they had that set up over there.
yeah, it was really cool. I don't think he was a part of Fest. I think he was just there. But he had like a ghillie suit on.
How did you notice it was in the bush? What were you doing?
I was just walking down the sidewalk and I just saw it. I was like, that's a phone in there.
Oh, wow.
Like, jumps out
Weird.
and he puts it on YouTube, so it's really cool.
Wow.
If you could be an animal for one day without the risk of being killed, if you could be any animal for one day without the risk of being killed and eaten, what would you choose?
I don't know. I would say I really never thought about that question. Probably a dog.
Nice. Dogs are cool. It'd be fun
I would
just.
probably be a dog for a day, but
You want to
I
be.
never really thought about it. It's kind of weird.
Would you want to be like a wild dog or like a house dog?
I don't know. Never really thought about it. Maybe a household dog.
Yep. Just being able
Probably
to
be better.
walk around and just hang out rent free. I get to do
Yeah. Yeah.
that. Ciao. Not for long.
Yeah.
I only have like 6 years left. So if you could tell your 12-year-old self anything at all, what would you tell him?
Go buy that Gibson Les Paul down the end of your street.
Why?
I lived down the street from a guitar shop, and I would always see every time I drive home, I'd have to drive by the guitar place on my way home, and I would always see the Les Pauls in the window. And I just wanted one really bad. I
They're
never
cool.
got a chance to get one, and I would go down there and stand in the store and gawk at them, you know,
Yep, they're
going,
awesome.
wow, that's really cool, man. Wish I had one of those.
Yep, how much was it back then?
You know what? I really don't remember. I remember it was a lot more than I had. But it was a custom guitar shop, so they were really expensive, you know. It's like they had a whole bunch of different custom ones up on the wall, hanging on the wall, just like right up here. And I'd go up there, I'd be like, oh, worshiping the guitar.
Gibson.
I just love the Randy Rhoads White Les Paul. It was like my favorite guitar in the whole world. I love that guitar.
Gibson Les Pauls, like, they can go for a lot. Like,
Yeah, it's
I've seen
really.
them online for like multiple thousands of dollars. Like, it's crazy.
Yep, they're selling big money right now,
Like,
all
and
over the place.
even
Didn't
like
you
the
just get one?
So I got a my latest guitar I got was for Christmas. It's a Jackson Lloyd Rose, and I got it from my Aunt Ashley. So it's a really cool guitar.
Wow, cool, man.
And then I got before that I got an Epiphone Les Paul, and that was on our way to a suicidal show in
I saw a video your mom had of that. You're
Yeah.
playing in the store.
Yep. But yeah, like we were like, should we get it? Because it was covered in stickers. And we look on the back and there's a suicidal tendency sticker on the back. And I was like, that's destiny.
Oh,
I was like,
got your name on it. Yep. Wow, cool. It's amazing.
so we bought it and now I have it. It was
That's
$269
cool.
phone Les Paul.
Wow, that's a good deal.
I think it
Still expensive.
new, it probably ran for 400 or so. They don't make them anymore, but it's from like 2016 or something. Yeah, it's
Okay. They have so many different styles, it's hard to keep up with them.
And they also put new pickups in it. They put Seymour Duncans in, which are
Oh,
$100
cool.
pickups. And there were two in there, so that's $200 worth pickups in there. So
Yeah, I'm getting ready to put some Seymour Duncans in my new guitar. I'm having a guitar made right now.
nice. I didn't take guitar too. That's cool.
I play guitar too. I originally started with guitar before I played drums, and I couldn't find a drummer in my town. I tried really hard, auditioned many drummers to try to fill in for the punk band I wanted to start, but nobody could play the beats that I wanted, so I decided I would do it instead
Nice.
and have somebody else play guitar.
So, anything to add before we wrap it up?
Not really. Oh yeah, DRI is getting ready to go to Australia next month, and I'm really looking forward to doing that. And New Zealand, and that's the next thing we got lined up. First shows in 2024. And just like to say thank you for having me on Kids in the Pit. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And have a good time in Japan.
Yep, hopefully I'll see you guys later this year. And also anyone in Australia or New Zealand, if yeah, check out those shows. Yep. So thanks to Rob for joining me today. And thanks to all of you for watching or listening. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel or follow me on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Until next week, bye.
Hi.